MSO New Sports, giving voice to the North Shore. Powered by Taparo Capital Management. This is MSO News Sports, and we are joined by Mike Lynch, former sportscaster at WCVB-TV in Boston, and of course now currently anchoring Unanchored Boston with the legendary Bob Lobel. And I'm going to get to your show last week in just a minute, Mike, but first up, welcome. Great to be talking with you again.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Bill, and to talk to all my friends back home.
Yeah, back up here on the North Shore. And Mike, first up, give us your thoughts on the Super Bowl last night. I mean, it was a great game entertainment value-wise, but a lot of missed opportunities, some great defense, but in the end, same old story, Patrick Mahomes with the win.
Yeah, you know, people were asking me all week long, who do you like in the Super Bowl? And I said, I can't go against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And I'm sure that was the same answer people were giving from Tom Brady and Bill Belichick for two decades when they had it going. The Super Bowl really has turned out some real great, great finishes. I remember the first 20 years or so of the Super Bowl, they were kind of blowouts, but these have been real prize games, and last night was no exception.
Mike, the here's an aside. I'm watching, Andy Reid. I didn't realize to today he's only 65. I thought he was older. Mike, come on.
He's got a way to go. He's Belichick's going to be 72 this year, so he's got a good 6 or 7 years before he catches up to Bill Belichick.
No, I know. I didn't realize that. Of course. What was the difference in the game? Do you see?
Patrick Mahomes. On that winning drive twice, he escaped being sacked, and he also said, you know what, I'm not going to give the ball to anybody else. We need a first down right now on third down. I'm taking the ball myself. And he did it twice and picked up a first down both times. And if you remember the drive last year in the winning field goal, he did the same thing. The guy's really, he's Houdini back there. I mean, he's a lot faster than you give him credit for. I mean, he's very elusive. And he's got some great speed.
Yeah, and he's compact, so when he does get hit, he doesn't seem to get hurt. I mean, so he's got it going for him for sure. You know, I looked, Mike, at that first half, and San Francisco had so many blown opportunities, if you will. And in fact, it came right down to near the end of that first half. That pass they scored for the touchdown, I mean, it almost could have been a pick six, you know, and going the other way, and then you have practically a reverse score.
Yeah, it could have been a pick six. Plus, they had an offensive lineman downfield illegally that should have been called, and the touchdown should have been called back. But both clubs were really sloppy in the first half, and I don't know if it was Super Bowl jitters but both teams had great opportunities. They fumbled the ball away, and very uncharacteristic of both of those teams.
Absolutely, but I'm also watching that game last night, Mike, and I'm thinking the level that the Patriots played at this year. Nowhere close to these two teams.
No, both teams have so many guys that can make big plays. And I can't name one guy on the Patriots team that can make a big play. Starting with the quarterback, then go to the wide receivers, go to the tight ends. Every one of those guys on both the Niners and the Chiefs are game breakers. And, a lot of guys like Deebo Samuel, we thought he was hurt and couldn't come back. He came back. But there's other guys that just pick up the slack, and they're almost as good.
You know, we both go way back, probably watching pro football and so on. I wanted to do a little homework here for you, Mike, because you and Bob Lobel were recalling some stories from your reporting days, well after what I'm going to mention here. But very first Super Bowl halftime show, the halftime show was the University of Arizona marching band and the Grambling marching band. Times have changed.
I sure looked like he had a marching band on the field when he was performing. I remember the first Super Bowl. We had nobody on our block had a color television except the Moran family, Larry Moran. Remember Paul Moran was a great player.
Yeah.
And so the Morans had a color TV, and there must have been 50 people in our neighborhood jammed into this small, tiny room. And we were sitting on top of each other because they had a color TV, and that was a real big deal back in 1967.
You know, Mike, it's funny you mentioned that because I think when our family got our first color TV, the first thing that I remember was watching the red uniform Kansas City Chiefs on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. Their uniforms have not changed since they were an original member of the American Football League. And that was a big deal to have a color television set. I know I'm really dating myself, and people might say, oh, my God, is Lynch 110 years old? But it was true. The Super Bowl was you know, the most watched event. And if you had a color TV, you were going to get a lot of people knocking at your front door.
All right, and you got all these different commercials last night. I know you and Lobel were talking about Super Bowl commercials a little bit there. I think what I researched, the first Super Bowl commercial was Goodyear tires back in the day. Goodyear tires, and no tires advertised last night for sure.
No, there were. I really thought the best ones were Vince Vaughn with Tom Brady. Brady's won too much; he's not allowed to bet with MGM Grand. And then the other one with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and Tom Brady with the Dunkin' Donuts commercial. And she tells Ben to get lost and tells Damon to get lost. And she says, Tom, you can stay. It was pretty good.
Well, he did better on one of those than the other one, for sure, I guess. The other one, they were kind of not that great, I didn't think. But the couch potatoes kind of stood out. I didn't know what was going on until the end, but couch potatoes, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I saw the thing, and they weren't as clever as they have been in years past. Now, most of the time, I never saw commercials because I was usually at a Patriots game, so you didn't see them. I'd read about them the next day and try to watch them on YouTube if I could. But to me, those are the two that stood out. Both of them with Brady. Brady's a pretty good. He's a pretty good actor.
Not bad. Yeah, he does a lot of things well. I'm finding out here, Mike.
Happy guy.
Yeah, and also filling his pocket from time to time by doing well.
Yeah.
Mike, you and Bob had some unbelievable different stories. I want to touch on maybe two of them here, but one of them, and you have the one of them here. But what do you remember about covering Super Bowls? Because you and Bob were, you know, at these Super Bowls, grinding away for the stories. I mean, it wasn't all glamour. It was a lot of hard work, you know, to do that year after year, as it turned out to be for the Patriots. But what's a story that you can recall from covering a Super Bowl?
I have to say that the year the Patriots won their first Super Bowl, when Vinatieri kicked the field goal against the Rams, that stood out to me because we're coming off 9/11. And everything changed. The security, how long it took to get into the game. I mean, I was at the Bears one in 86. I was at the Packers one in 97. And you just walked up and you just flashed your pass and you walked in. But this all changed after 9/11. And the security was unbelievable. You'd have to literally stand in line, you know, for 2 to 3 hours before you get into the game. And that stood out to me. And then when there was only 1 week off between the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl because of 9/11, and I remember they brought everybody downstairs underneath the stadium with 10 minutes to go and to watch the thing on a TV set. And I stayed in the Superdome up in the press box and watched the Vinatieri's kick go through before I went down. And I went down, I still had to wait another 20 minutes before we could get onto the field. So that was probably my biggest memory there. But it was the first time, and having grown up here, you know, saying the words, the Patriots won the Super Bowl, I thought they'd never pass through my lips in my lifetime. And it finally happened.
Exactly. And the Red Sox winning a World Series, all of those things. Yeah, you almost look back at 1986 and think, that didn't even count. Come on.
Yeah.
That wasn't close. I know. I got to ask you guys, and you've handled this however you want to, but Lobel brought this up last week on the program. Robert Kraft. Now, you know, I got to admit, I'm not that close to Robert Kraft, you know, and I did not know any of these two stories that you guys had, but it kind of changed my thinking a bit on Robert Kraft.
Yeah, Bob asked me to rank the four owners, you know, and what they've done, and I ranked Kraft first, having won six Super Bowls and having the sense to stay out of the way of Belichick and don't meddle like he did with Bill Parcells. And Lobel had the complete opposite. He had Kraft last, And he had, who did he have first?
He had Jeremy Jacobs, didn't he?
Jacobs.
I mean, I'm with you, Mike. I'm totally with you on this, but I hear where he's coming from, but go ahead, yeah.
And yeah, he just, he just said that everybody that has a relationship with Robert Kraft, when it ends badly. And that was his point. From a season ticket holder to a major sponsor to a partner, it always ended badly. And that was the point that he was trying to make.
Yeah. All right. No, and I get that. But I tend to agree with you. I mean, it's hard to take away six Super Bowl titles from being the best owner and a lot of other work that he does. But I get it. I understand it. Mike, what's up on Unanchored Boston this week?
We're going to have the legendary Bob Ryan will join us. We're going to tape it on Wednesday. And Ryan is an encyclopedia. We can talk anything with Bob Ryan, and we will just ask the question and just sit back and let Bob go for as long as he wants. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, he had a column, I think it was last week in the Sunday Globe, about Sports Illustrated. What is your take on Sports Illustrated? Because, again, growing up, that was a fixture, Sports Illustrated, but I don't know what the future holds for Sports Illustrated.
I think it's pretty bad. We used to all wait for Thursdays and run to the mailbox and look at our Sports Illustrated, especially when the swimsuit issue came out in February. That was always a pleasant arrival.
Well, there's always those related scoreboard items in there too, Mike, you got to pay attention to. Yeah, you know.
But I think that the days are numbered, and I think they're over. They've been bought. Time Magazine sold them to a group a few years ago. They went from 52 issues a year down to 4 issues a year. I still get it. I still subscribe. But it's just not the same. And it's hard to be fresh. I mean, everything is right in the palm of your hand in your telephone. And to wait, you know, the stories, they used to have game stories in Sports Illustrated, and you couldn't wait to read them. But that doesn't happen anymore. And so, like a lot of major publications, I think they're going to be extinct if they're not already.
Yeah. No, I get it. Well, Mike, I want to close just by asking you to update our listeners on your health, because I mean, you look great doing the podcast. So it seems like, so tell us, share us how you are doing now.
I'm doing great. I have a cane I walk with, and I walk with a what's called a rollator. It's basically a rolling walker, and I'm getting better every day. They test me every month how many steps I take in 6 minutes. I have to walk 30 feet blindfolded. I have to walk 30 feet backwards. I do a lot of stuff. My right leg, my right hand, I can move them, but I still don't have a lot of sensation in them yet. But I'm still working at it, and I'm not giving up. And I want to thank you and all the other people that check in on me from time to time. It means an awful lot.
Yeah, no. Thanks for the information, and I'm just glad I don't have to get tested every month. You know,
I mean, who walks 30 feet blindfolded? Who walks 30 feet backwards? Nobody, except me.
Mike, you're the only one that can pass that test. I'm guessing. I got to ask you one last thing. Bill O'Brien, you guys were talking about this last week before it happened, but former Patriots offensive coordinator, then went on to Ohio State, but now is back at Boston College. You follow college football closely, and great move by BC?
I think it's a great move. His wife went to BC. His son goes to Tufts and plays baseball. They have another son who's severely injured. He has a severe case of cerebral palsy, I believe it is. And, you know, they're both from here, from the New England area. And I think that finally they've got a coach that's not looking to jump off for a better job. He's had the NFL, he's had the top of the world in college football. And I think he's ready to hang around here for a long time right now. And I think it's one of the best moves. BC has spent so much time looking for athletic directors and head coaches. They're always looking for the next job when they were here. And finally, they got a guy that's looking to build Boston College, and the guy's a hell of a coach, too.
Yeah, probably the last guy not to look for the next job was hockey coach Jerry York. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely right. I mean, they hit a home run when they hired him. They should have hired Barry Gallup as their athletic director about 15 years ago, and they wouldn't have any of the problems that they've had. But they've picked the right guy in Bill O'Brien.
Well, that's great. You guys had great insight on that. Well, Mike, thank you so much for your time. We're going to link back to that last week's podcast, because even though it led up to the Super Bowl, there's so many stories that just they're not dated at all moving forward if you wanted to go back and listen to it. And again, we'll have a link up here on this post on that. So, Mike, thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Well, anytime. I love the North Shore. You know, my mom still lives there. My two sisters live there. And anytime you need me, I'm just a phone call away.
Yeah, well, let me know if you need any shoveling tomorrow. We'll be in. I'll be around.
Okay. Of course we do.
Okay.
Mike Lynch with us here on MSONewsSports.com.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.